Recently, I find many problems concerning to religious problem. Such as psychology, or LSD, or the problem of how to bring about complete peace. Those problems are most important problems in present day, I think. In our system of Zen philosophy, I'm not emphasizing philosophy, but when we have discussion, there must be some system, or else our discussion will result anything. So I just want to present to you some system. As you know, our problem, the most important basic construction of culture may be science. Science is very important. But science just study or treat outward as an object. And science will result materialistic understanding of life. But whether our human being is spiritual or material is a big problem, which has been discussed for a long, long time. We have no conclusion to it yet. We are spiritual or material. Our mental function is just attribute of body. Or our mental spiritual function is basic function for human being. And this kind of problem is not solved completely. But anyway, the problems which cannot be solved by science will be solved by cultural science. So the basic construction will be science, and next one will be natural science, and next one will be cultural science. In this science, we discuss about what is truth, what is duty, what is good. And if possible, what is holiness. But it is rather difficult to discuss what is holiness, holy nature, by cultural science. So the last problem for us is, what is holiness? What is holy nature? This problem will be solved by religion. So we have four foundations. Our culture has four foundations: natural science, cultural science, and three foundations, maybe. Natural science, science, cultural science, and religion. In religion, we discuss also what is our mind. What is our mind? Whether it is material or spiritual, it is also our problem for religious study. And of course, we discuss about what is holy nature. But we treat our mind not as a mind, as psychology. Psychological study is to study our mind as an object of study. Here is mind, you know, which is universal to everyone. And what is the function of our mind? This is psychology. But in religion, we study our mind as our own. This is the difference. My own mind, not everyone's mind. I don't mind some other's mind, but we do mind my mind. That is religion. So, science will bring you some universal truth, which is like a telescope. You have a vast sight of mind, which is universal. As if you see San Francisco from Tamara Pius, you can see everything. In the you can see the vast sight of the San Francisco from Tamara Pius. But that kind of study, of course, it helps you, but you will not be so interested in the science, your mind in as a general, your mind in general. The most concerning problem for us is, what is my mind? What should I do with myself, with my mind? It's the most important problem. And religion only will give you the answer. What should you do with your mind? This kind of mind is the mind we religious people are concerned very much. So you should have clear distinction from psychology and religion. And from cultural science, and from natural science, or else you will mix up. You cannot discuss properly. Dogen Zenji had a clear distinction between those kind of study. not only Dogen Zenji, but also all Buddhist sects. There is no inborn sage or natural Shakyamuni Buddha. We are all Shakyamuni Buddha, but if you do not practice or if you do not train yourself, you cannot be Shakyamuni Buddha. You have his nature, but if you do not realize his nature, we cannot be Shakyamuni Buddha. To realize his nature as your own is a religion. Now, we want to discuss something. If you have some problem, if some of you has a problem, on that problem, we want to discuss how to solve that problem. And if you have some question in our religion or what I said, please ask me.
What do you mean by cultural science? I don't understand. Do you mean by philosophy?
Philosophy and education, ethics, those are culture, sociology, psychology, the culture concerned about mind, our mind, not materialistic side of our life, but spiritual side of faces of our mind.
Culture, American culture, or French culture, or Japanese culture, or do you mean civilization?
Civilization, yeah, not special culture, but culture in various countries, which is the studies of mind.
What about things like LSD?
LSD? LSD, I have no experience of taking LSD, so but that is not so important, you know, problem at all. That is just like, I think, medicine. So, of course, if you take too much medicine, it will not good for you. But there's no objection to in taking it, I think. But what I'm afraid of is they will mix up with religion, LSD Zen and LSD. There's very, very little, you know, relation. It is quite another matter, you know. Another problem. There is problem of LSD and problem of religion is quite different matter. But actually, religious people may use it, you know. But when we discuss something, or when we want to figure out the clear idea of LSD, we must make this point clear. Or else we will, you know, we'll have useless discussion. One is going this way, and one is going this way. And they will have no chance to meet.
it has to be understood for what it is. Not
yeah, what it is quite clear. It is a kind of medicine, you know. The study of LSD is the study of science, not religion. What I notice is, in America, or maybe in Europe, too, a great confusion. There's a big confusion in religion and in other cultures. Mm-hmm. In thinking. In everyday life, you know, it must be mixed up, you know. Religion should use various means to help people. But if the leaders of religious movement do not mixed up, you know, religion and other culture, it may be awful.
Where is the line drawn?
No, there's no need to draw a line like LSD. You can use it. I'm not talking about you should not use it or something like that. How to use it, and who is using it? You are using it.
I have used it, but I haven't used it.
But that you is problem, you know? Small you or big you. This is the most important point. If you do not know what is you, to use something is, you know, it's crazy. So this point is very, very, very important. And this point is missing. So it is necessary to make this point very, very clear, because almost all people are mixed up many things. So they will waste their time a lot. Not only waste of time, but also it is suffering, actually. Don't you think so? Some question?
This morning, or this afternoon, you said that just the practice of Zazen is not so good because you may be practicing for something.
Yeah.
A better painter or something like that. And then you said, then if you do this, you will abuse your practice until it is mixed with other practices.
Mm-hmm.
And does this mean that at some point that a serious student of Zen has to begin to take some interest in the scriptures, for example? Or otherwise he may be in danger of commencing of his practice becoming, you know, like, it seems to me you're referring to some kind of true practice that's in danger.
Danger.
Maybe in danger of drawing away from the mixing.
By danger, I don't mean you will be poisoned or
no,
you will go insane. Not that kind of danger, but you will not understand what is Zen. And you will make big mistake. So this kind of discussion is very important.
Well, how do you keep from making a mistake and using your practice?
You know, you should know that.
You will know.
No. What I mean is, you know, what is the your most concern point. What is your inmost request? What will appease your suffering or, you know, or your agitation, you know? irritation, and how you can appease it.
Dogen Zenji, I think, liked himself with one hand and used the other hand to light in, to put incense down. Isn't that correct?
Mm-hmm.
He said that. If there's no space or time, why would he do that?
No space. What did you say?
If there's no space or time, as the Lankavatara Sutra says, why would Dogen make a distinction between which hands he would use for which activities?
Oh, I see. This is good problem, good question. You know, this is very good. No space or no time, you know, means we think that, you know, when we say time, that some you have idea of continuity. You know, time is something continuous, and space is something wide. You know, this is time and space, idea of time and space. But time is not only continuity, and discontinuity is also time. You know, in the smallest particle of time, you can think in this way. You can form the continuity of time, adding smallest particle of time. This is continuity also. And actually, this understanding is better. If so, time is continuous and discontinuous. Do you understand? You say flower grow, comes out in 1 week from birth. You know, it is continuously there, grow. But when you see the flower, you cannot recognize the growing flower. The flower stops growing when you see, just see. You don't see the movement of the flower. You cannot see even the movement of the hands of the clock. But it is moving. It is like a movie picture. A movie picture is the accumulation of small, you know, pictures. One after another, those pictures come, it will form some movement. So, that is what he meant. There is no time or no space. No time as you think. No time, no space as you think. Actual time is continuous and discontinuous. And it is not even a time. It is actual growth of the flower. Actual, the sun rising in east, from east and setting in west. This is the time, actually. So, in this sense, he says, there's no time or no space. What actually exists is our movement, which moves in one whole or existence. We are all moving, and there's some uniformity in our moving. And that is actual time and space. So when we do something, you know, when I say something, you are listening. And not only you, but also Buddha will listen to me. So in this moment, there is no need to say time or space. When I say something, there's you and there's Buddha. So we must not neglect what I am doing just now and relationship between you and I and Buddha. Instead of emphasizing time and space, he emphasizes actual relationship which exists in this moment, just now. So that is why he is very strict with what we do, how we treat everything. You abuse something because you think that is some material, some permanent existence. So you will abuse it. But actually, we cannot abuse anything. If you want to abuse it, it will create problem to you. Because there's no such a thing which can be abused. Everything is actually, everything is living existence, which cannot be no alternative way of, which do not have no alternative way of expression. You know, when I say something, and you are listening to me, there's no alternate expression of yourself. For me, it is so. So it is impossible to abuse something. But when we, you know, idealize something, and when we become attached to the idea of you, I may abuse you. No, I think it is possible to abuse you, but it is not possible. When you do something which is not possible, you will have problems, that's all. That is why he says there's no time or space. Actually, what exists is what you see, or what you do, or what you listen on this moment. So you must not abuse it, or you must not even try to utilize, just respect everything and just treat everything respectfully. And that is our way. Did you understand? So our way is to do something improper time, improper way. That is Zen, in short. And mind and object is one. Do you understand? This is a good question, I think.
There have been some systems of metaphysics which are not strictly Western philosophy, even if they are Eastern, which try to explain, not explain, but try to make us understand our existence not as well as by work, by study, so that we have a particular chemical or physical understanding of any object and of our of why we do things, for example, why we adopt the popular position, why we keep our backs from this. Was there ever a time when Buddhism used explanations like those, or as Buddhism was, from Chapter 9 on, always been disinterested in analysis of things from a physical level?
I think that is why you are interested in Buddhism. You have a good background to understand what is Buddhism. You know, you have very advanced science and various kinds of philosophy. And your achievement is perfect, almost perfect, I think, especially in natural science. This achievement is very meaningful for us Buddhists. But Buddhists will give you another interpretation from another angle, you know, in your achievement. We do not change what you have achieved. We believe in your achievement. There's no, you know, no room to ignore scientific truths. The science developed by, you know, actual experiment after experiment, you achieve scientific progress. And you will continue this effort. But that is, you know, a scientific knowledge. We should know that, you know. That is not religious knowledge. Religious knowledge is something different from that. To give some another interpretation to science is religion. To understand science from another angle is religion. Without changing your conclusion. We do not doubt scientific truths. We accept scientific truths. But we will give another interpretation to it without changing the meaning of, not meaning, without changing the conclusion of. There's many very famous parable in Buddhism. Water for fish. Water is their home. For a human being, it is water, not our home. And for celestial being, it is water is some palace or something. Palace. Like cow palace. So, for a human being, science is something different, you know. For me, science is something different from the viewpoint of scientists. That is why, even the scientist has very advanced knowledge in scientific way, they become very superstitious. We know many superstitious science. You may say, how is it possible for him to believe in such a primitive religion? But some of them are quite superstitious. The science and his spiritual life is quite different for him. You know, scientific knowledge and spiritual understanding is quite different. Two matters for us. Some question?
What criteria do we use for deciding what are the proper things and what the proper way to do them are?
Proper way? Oh, you know, when you say so, that is the question of ethics, you know. Now, I'm not talking about ethics, you know. Do you understand? What I can say now is, for a person who understands what is my mind, there is no alternative way to take that is good. There is no bad for us who understand our inmost nature. In realm of morality, there's two ways, good and bad. That is ethics, which is good. This is good and this is bad. So you have to take good instead of bad. That is morality. But that is because you live in moral realm. But religious life, there's no alternative. There's just only one way. If when you become quite religious, you know, there's no other way than to take one way. Water does not come up, it's always come down. That kind of question, because we say no good, don't discriminate, you know, we Buddhists say don't discriminate, there's no good or bad. So that kind of question is quite a natural question, I think. We do not ignore good or bad. So here you see the religion will give the life to morality. For religious people, it is the pleasure to take good instead of bad. There's no alternative way. But for a moral mind, there's two ways, which is good. and you must have some measure of value. How to make the measurement is a big problem. The measurement for a woman will not be the measurement for men. The big problem. So if there is no religion, you will make your effort to utilize morality or to make some excuse in what you do. If there is no religion, that will be the, your effort. Not pure enough. No. You are just making excuse because our constitution says like this, so this is good and this is bad. But when it is not convenient, you will not say anything. That is morality. You will be the abuse of morality and abuse of law and abuse of religion. Religion is very handy to use. So, if you say, Shakyamuni Buddha said so, even a stone will be a medicine. That is abuse of religion, abuse of the Shakyamuni Buddha. That is not religion at all. That is, you know, I don't know what it is. What it is. Not, it is not even science. Some question? We have 15 minutes more.
In the manual for meditation,
Why
is that?
Usually you are doing like that, but beginner will wonder what should he do with their tongue, you know. When you sit, you know, for the first time, your mouth will be full of water. When your tongue is like this, your mouth will be filled with water. But when your tongue is like this, it's all right. If you do like this, try what will happen to your mouth. Those are the idea of precepts. If we say 250 precepts or 500 precepts, you will say, oh my, what a rigid religion Buddhism is. But our precepts is something like that. We make it sure, assure our conduct by study. You know. Actually, what you are doing is, what you are intuitively doing is our precepts. We do not force anything to you.
Do you think that the yoga practiced by religious people in India is very close to Zazen? Do you know too much about it?
No, I don't want to know it. If I know it, I think I must say something about it. I'm afraid if it is good, it's all right. But, you know, it is idea, you know, not yoga practice itself, but in what way or in what purpose they practice yoga is a very important point. It is like medicine, you know. If you take it in proper way, it is all right. But if you rely on it too much, so yoga practice is not only way to help you. We should know that, I think. No question?
The book Foundations of Tibetan Mysticism by the Lama Angharika Govinda compares point by point Hindu yoga or Zazen posture, not going into all the special postures, Hindu yoga with Buddhist yoga, and he comes to the conclusion that there, the whole reason one does it is quite different, and the background is quite different. And
it
end up with something quite different.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe. That is Buddhism, you know. The background or idea.
How could there be two truths? How could there be two reasons?
Two reasons?
Yeah, two reasons.
Yeah. In philosophical, you know, study, there's always it is inevitable in philosophical study. There's always paradox in philosophical study. It cannot be helped. And there's truth, you know. Where there's paradox, there's truth. If you have eyes to see it, you know. But as long as you are confined in philosophical study, you have no eyes to see through the paradoxical statement. Philosophy is good because it is paradoxical, you know. So we Buddhists use paradoxical expression. It should be paradoxical. So we use, we apply paradoxical expression as philosophers do. And we do not think that it's paradoxical. We have 1 week discussion, so maybe better to finish today our discussion.